Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
From midfield, pressure coming. Purdy hit. Purdy sacked. Game over. Christian Roseboom clinches it. The Rams have a three-game winning streak, and they sweep San Francisco 12-6 the final. L.A. has won 3-0, three in a row against the Niners for the first time in 23 years.
In Simpsons fashion, from Monday night, come grab a seat, San Fran. Good morning, Metroplex. Friday edition of Sean and RJ with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. We got Mike McCarthy live at 6:30 this morning. We have Bobby's Carolina Film Room and a Matt Rife ticket giveaway during the commercial-free expressway. Dallas Stars getting pummeled at the AAC. Good morning, Metroplex. But we start off with the Los Angeles Rams in a really ugly, rain-filled first half, going into San Fran and dropping the Niners to 6-8.
Hideous football game. Worst game of the year. I don't even think there's a question, but the first game without a touchdown in the entire year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, first game in this series, Niners-Rams, which they've been playing for quite a few years.
Yeah.
First game that did not have a touchdown.
With the two offensive geniuses, I'm willing to give them a break for the first half. That was bad.
Yeah, it's the rain. It was the conditions. Second half, you know, I mean, it was still a sloppy field.
Fans were still out there, like, there was a shot of them holding up cell phones or, like, the rain pouring down. Like, what are you filming?
Oh, yeah, they're all just covering their head.
It was like this, Alex.
They're just trying to see if, you know, do you ever get that where it's like just a downpour and you're like, holy cow, I got to show people this. And then it never shows up on your phone, really. It's probably just them getting frustrated trying to like actually get a picture.
They were probably like, no one's going to believe there was a touchdown in this game. I need to get it on video.
Rams are 8-6, but I think a lot of the focus and our focus is going to be on the 49ers. I'll steal this from Maggie and Perloff this morning, driving in right here on this station. More questions right now about Kyle or Brock. We sure now that they should be ready to give Brock Purdy $60 million a year if it comes to that.
I mean, Brock throughout his career has been fantastic.
In what many people would say were perfect circumstances.
Sure. Sure, they were. But, you know, he still had the player still has to go and execute. You know, and Babe has talked about this, and I've talked about this. The dirty little secret with Kyle is that, you know, he needs a certain type of player. Right? Like, he can't just put anybody in there because it didn't work with just anybody. You know, Brock was the right type of player, right? Process things fast. Obviously, Nick Mullins wasn't. Obviously, other guys weren't. Like, he had a really good record with Jimmy and a really good record with Matt Ryan, and then there's 15 other guys that he couldn't win with. and then there's Brock. So, like, obviously, it's a system that works, and it needs a certain type of player.
I don't think I have sincere questions about either one. But if there's one who I have more about, it would be Kyle right now.
Really?
And not schematically or anything else. It's just, I wonder if there reaches a point where it's like, we had talked about this during the offseason. Was there ever a team that we could think of that had developed more of a reputation of like, we got to be like them, that had developed that reputation without ever actually winning a Super Bowl, where the rest of the league was talking about how, oh man, how do we get like them? And it's like, they haven't even won. So what is it that you're chasing? And I just wonder if when the drama starts stacking up and guys are upset that they're not getting paid and now guys get hurt and now they lose games
and walk off the field.
Yeah. Does Kyle's message after he's been there 8 years or whatever it is,
somebody's that, yeah.
Does his message just start wearing thin on people?
I would have more questions about Purdy. 15 touchdowns, and I've been a Purdy fan, despite walking into training camp with Gavin Dawson and Gavin saying that he was a what? That he was a who?
He was 10% better than Brian Hoyer.
Well, I can't kill Dawson too much today. 15 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. The QBR is a 65, which is 9th. He's 10th in yards. But over the last 4 weeks, he has thrown for over 160 yards one time. 159 and scoring 17 to Seattle. 94, again, snow game conditions here in losing to Buffalo. 325 against the sorry-ass Bears. And then 142 last night. So it is not trending up, and they're going to have a very nervous financial decision to make.
They do. I mean, look, they have that. It's obviously anytime you pay a quarterback, you're talking about that kind of cash. It's going to be a nervous financial decision, unless that guy is Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. Go down the list of the guys who got contracts this year. Yeah, Jordan Love. It was still nervous for them. It was nervous for Jacksonville.
Tua.
It was nervous for Tua. It was nervous even for Jared Goff. It was nervous when Detroit gave him the money this year or last year, right? Still, obviously, Dak Prescott. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. Unless it's Mahomes or Allen,
yeah,
there's a nervous aspect to it.
He's still, I mean, last night was not good, but heading into last night, he was still leading the NFL in yards per attempt for the second year in a row. He has been a guy who his completion percentage over expectation has been on the higher end of the NFL. He's somebody who his expected points added per dropback, like all these different analytical measures that we have, he's still in the top 10 of roughly. It's just, it's a whole disaster there in San Francisco this year, and I think he's just part of being dragged down by that.
Debo didn't do him any favors after whining and crying about needing the football more. Debo drops a wide open walk-in touchdown. That hurts everybody's statistics. And speaking of losing control, the big scandal from last night is Niners linebacker Devondre Campbell. He was active for the game. This was the return for Navarro Bowman, who, remember, blew out his
Greenlaw.
I'm sorry, Navarro Bowman, I have in my head because of Bobby and Overshown. Dre Greenlaw was on the sidelines running onto the field. He collapsed, went down. He's back last night. Of course, he's going to need a breather here and there. So who's the backup for him? Devondre Campbell. Well, Devondre Campbell walks off the field, pulls a Vernon Davis, and strolls on back to the locker room. Kyle Shanahan, what happened?
Happened with Devondre Campbell. He didn't play, and he went into the locker room at some point.
Yeah, he said he didn't want to play today.
Play today?
Yep.
The coaching staff?
He did when I asked him why he didn't want to go in.
During the game or before?
No, that was in the third quarter.
Has that ever happened to you where a player said they didn't want to play in a game?
No.
He got demoted for this game, right? He was not going to play?
No, he was going to go in when Dre came out.
Michael Silver's voice in the background, friend of the show. George Kittle found out about this and was not pleased.
Not disbelief or disconnection, like, as a team. That is one person who just decided not to, play for his teammates. And I don't think that doesn't, like, doesn't make our offense look at each other and be like, wow, man, we're falling apart. It's more of a, or like the defense, hey, we're falling apart. It's more of a one person making a, like Mooney said, a selfish decision. And I'm with Mooney on that. And I've never been around anybody that's ever done that. And I hope I'm never around anybody that does that again.
Woo! And Mooney is Mooney Ward, who afterwards said, that's some sucker stuff to me. Probably going to get cut soon.
Well, I mean, because you know, later in Kyle's clip, he said, I don't think we need to talk about him anymore. So that's, I mean, that's...
Night-night.
That's about as...
He started at...
Jimmy Johnson finally reincarnated.
Oh, baby.
He started, like, every game for them. I mean, he may have missed one. But he'd started, like, every game for them with Dre Greenlaw out. And it's... Okay, yeah, the guy who is the starter comes back, and you're just going, well, I'm not playing today. I'm just not going to... That San Francisco situation has turned into a total mess, and I don't know... They're going to have to blow up portions of it, and I don't know how, because it's like you've clearly just reached a point of like you peaked, and in order for this to get any better, you've got to start swapping out parts.
Florio has thrown out ideas of trading Kyle Shanahan, swapping out the head coach. They actually addressed this multiple times in San Fran over the past few weeks. John Lynch saying it's an absolute joke, but I did envision this morning Kyle Shanahan possibly being free and available.
Yeah. I mean,
again, I think it's more likely Brock doesn't get re-signed than Kyle being out there and free. But I thought about it.
Look, I mean, it's been 8 years. You know, you're encroaching on that 10-year limit that coaches love to talk about. It's very arbitrary, but and then you know there's been a block. You know, him in certain situations, like at the end, Super Bowls and stuff. You know, there's just been that block. It's there. He's blown two of them.
And can't close games.
Three of them.
That's haunted them this year.
They've been awful in the first game they played against the Rams. They should have beat them, and they just completely collapsed in the final 2 minutes. His teams have not been able to finish at all.
Mike McCarthy live at 6:30 this morning. How shocked is he that Bill Belichick is in college? The cutoff suits were being worn yesterday at Chapel Bill, and we have other coaches returning to college as well. Bill Belichick at Carolina, the press conference, and Mike McCarthy next on Sean and RJ.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This one comes out to the line. Gravel back to the net. Tip score! A trio of goals in the second period. O'Reilly has his second. And they are shocking the stars right now.
Yes, they are, Preds TV, with Alec and Ruben in attendance. The Dallas Stars lose their second home game of the season. This to Nashville 4-1, the Preds with three goals in the second period. As Spittle points out, the two losses, Choppy, are to two of the worst teams in the Western Conference. The first one was against Anaheim, and they just outplayed the Stars for the majority of the night. Missed assignments on the goals. Stars had no real answers for the Nashville forecheck. Pete DeBoer, quote, our video review coaches were our best players tonight by far.
Oh, I don't think that's a good sign at all. It's, you know, it's one of these games you lose a game to a team that you should beat. Now, Nashville's played the Stars tough this year. I mean, the other game was a one-goal game early on in the year. But, I mean, they have played them more difficult than they should. And Nashville should be better than their record anyway. They're like 8-16. They should be better than that. Because they've got some names. They're a little bit older. They got some names. They should be better. They're just not.
They didn't deserve to win.
Oh, look at this.
Mike McCarthy.
Wait, what?
They didn't deserve to win 60. Tell the people it's 60% of the Stars on.
Mike McCarthy coming up live at 6:30 as the Stars lose a stunner at the AAC. Good job, Peyton Russell. Paying attention, early Friday edition. It is official as Bill Belichick had his press conference yesterday at North Carolina. The AD or one of the heads of the school went up there with his cutoff suit jacket.
Bubba.
They gave Belichick his cutoff hoodie, and Bill sat down and was asked about the Belichick Bible. Did you really hand over a 400-page document to get approved?
Just curious, there were reports that you had prepared a document or organizational Bible. Were those accurate? I reserve a follow-up if the answer is...
Yeah, I mean, don't believe everything you read in the papers, all right? I have no idea where that came from. I don't have a 400-page document. I mean, and to think I would just go out and hand it. I mean, come on, really.
I was thinking of the college students who are going to be covering the team. Oh, yeah. Like, imagine being a college kid for the Tar Heel Times.
Yeah, the Daily Ramsey or whatever the hell it is. Yeah. The Daily Heel. It's because you know you do run, you own the world in college, and these guys are a lot of the kids obviously are brand new. I mean, they're up there with their piece of paper. They're shaking.
Yeah.
They got like that shake voice going on. They're so nervous.
It's going to be the media version of Belichick walking past those little kids when he was storming out on the field with the way he's going to be treating some of these sophomores in the press there.
Yeah, he's a liar, though. He's absolutely a liar.
You think he has a 400-page Bible?
I don't think he has a 400-page document. I think that what I can believe is that got exaggerated. Like, as a figure of speech, if somebody said, he turned in like a 400-page document, yeah. And it's like saying, you know.
You don't think every coach has a big binder that they present? They do.
Yeah.
No, I don't think.
They all have their libraries of plays and information and chronicles.
The way this made it sound.
Well, that's McCarthy. When you're interviewing.
You come with just a cup of coffee.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. The way this made it sound, the way they were talking about it, was like, it was a list of things of like, this is what you need to do for me with these coaches. I need to be allowed to do this. And that is not common. Not everybody walks in with a giant binder full of that. It was enough that people who are around these sort of things had it impressed upon them that this was a big thing. Like, this is a thick thing he was bringing.
Yeah, I think the reality is he walked in there with this a binder, right? And on it said, listen, these are the things that I think a program needs to make it what we want.
Bobby's overblowing it. He just wants to keep Bill out of the NFL.
NFL's doing that for me.
Yeah, they are. If you're a sales manager walking into your office and you're sitting down with the boss and you're like, here's our budget, here's where these funds need to be allocated, here's where these funds need to go. He's building a player personnel department. This whole thing, by the way, I have not heard education once in any of this. He's like, this is a football factory. That's what this is. Apparently, little Billy Belichick's first words while growing up with the diapers on were, beat Duke.
I love Duke.
Beat Duke. So he dropped that yesterday. People went and investigated the buyout, which is pretty interesting.
We had first heard it was a 3-year, $30 million deal. Yep. And I saw yesterday it was a 5-year deal.
$550.
Okay.
But the buyout, Bob, apparently is $10 million until June 1, 2025, and it drops to $1
million. Wow.
So it'll be easy for Bill to leave, go back to the NFL after 1 year if the opportunity presents.
You said June 1, 2025?
That's what I saw on the internet. Ah,
so they're splitting the cap charge. No. Post June 1 cut.
That will be before he coaches his first game.
June 1, 25? Oh, yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe somebody will get their hands on that 400-page document and they'll be like, we got to hire this guy.
He's like waving it in front of Jerry.
I've never seen anything like this. Like, Jerry, hey, you're going to pay me $10 million a year and buy me out for $10 million. But if you wait to sign me to until June 1st, that's just $1 million. What? He gets a buyout drop before he coaches his first game?
Why would that be?
He clearly wants some sort of quick out to be able to get. That tells me he's not going to be there more than probably 3 years at the very max.
Well, look, 3 years from now, he's not going back to the NFL at 75.
Right.
You can do a single offseason rebuild in college these days, though, now. So he may just be like, I just need a year and then I'm going to get out of here.
And hand it over to Steve.
I mean, the third year, what if he wins the national championship? He'd probably get hired back in the league after the stories come out of he worked well in college.
If he's that obsessed, yeah. If he wants to come back at 75, then...
Bill, with part of his plan, this is on page 362 of the Bible.
In the NFL, it's a combination of a lot of things, but if you look at the players we had in the NFL, Tom Brady was a fourth-string quarterback his rookie year. He didn't exactly come in as, with any play time at all. Gronkowski, he didn't do too much his rookie year. Julian Edelman played quarterback in college. Then he was a wide receiver, and then he was a punt returner. So developing players is, something that Michael and I believe strongly in, and we'll support that with the staff, and we'll support that with the program. There's a lot of opportunity and room for growth for all players, whether 19, 20, or honestly 22, 23.
Go ahead.
He's so petty. He's so damn petty. He just happens to name the three guys who were on set 2 days ago going, he could never coach college football. He goes, you know, I took these three scrubs and turned them into all-time. That is totally on purpose.
I didn't even notice that.
So what? You're petty. You should appreciate it.
I know. I'm just saying that, like, for him, work on page 376 or whatever. Focus on that. Don't focus on Julian Edelman on the Fox set.
Listen, I'm going to introduce Bill to a girl here. Her name is Kara. Countable athletically related activities. That is the 20-hour rule in college football, college athletics. You have 20 hours a week that you could spend on football or any related activities, which means no more than 4 hours a day. So you're going to practice weights and meetings, and you're going to develop all these kids. That makes it much more difficult. This is not the NFL.
Let's talk to Mike McCarthy about Bill Belichick in college and the Carolina Panthers Sunday. The head coach of America's team joins us next. It is now time with great intro music for the Mike McCarthy Show, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys, here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. It is DFW Sports Station. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning. How you been?
Pretty well. Feels like the month is flying by to Christmas. Does it feel like the same for you?
I don't want to say it's flying by, but yeah.
different to different people.
It's been busy. So how was your break?
Oh, I'm so honored that you realized I was out. The interview quality just dropped off. It was good. It was good, Coach. I appreciate you asking. I would love to ask you how stunned you are that Bill Belichick is a college head coach now.
I would say I'm stunned. Because, you know, I just think this the way our industry has gone. You know, I think that's a little bit of a new frontier, college football. And I'm sure there's definitely some, you know, exciting opportunities. And this sounds like this is one of them. So I wouldn't say I'm stunned. But, I mean, I'd state in the obvious, I mean, because the incredible success he's had in the NFL and you know, where he is in his career. But, you know, I'm sure that He obviously put a lot of thought into this and sounds like a great opportunity.
Obviously, your focus is in the pros, but how similar, Coach, do you see college becoming to the NFL now with NIL and everything? Do you think there's a ton of similarities that could make the transition easier?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's definitely closer to the NFL now than it was before. I think that's, you know, that's obvious. And I mean, you know, pro football and college football always, you know, looked at one another for ideas and creativity in certain areas, whether it's scheme, you know, facilities. I mean, I think some of the modern day NFL facilities are aligned with some of these big programs in college football. So, I mean, there's always been, you know, back and forth between college football throughout, but I definitely think it's definitely closer now because of the business model that they're trying to create is going to be in place at the college level.
Coach, you spent a lot of time, you've talked about before the time you spent between Green Bay and Dallas and reflecting all the different, you know, studies that you're doing. Did you ever consider college as a pathway of like, hey, maybe I'd like to get into college?
I did not, you know, and it was really a year, you know, just the year off, and there was just a lot that went on during that year. So, but no, I did not consider college football at that time.
I've been arguing with Bobby about this. I already know you're going to say I'm right. There's a story going around that Bill had this 400-page document or binder for his presentation. He said that's greatly exaggerated, but I was like, I can see a coach going into the job interview with a ton of plans and binders and documents. We know you guys have them all in your film study. I'm sure those are X's and O's. Did you have that when you were sitting down with Jerry and Steven? Did you walk in with some big binder or presentation?
I'm a binder guy. I do believe in the old school way, but it was put in a PowerPoint presentation. So just all the different, you know, pods, departments, you know, how you facilitate, you know, coaching operations tied to training room. But yeah, definitely. So I'm not surprised at all that he had a 400-page binder at all.
Coach, I always think it's silly when I hear like it was like a 5-hour meeting and I'm like, okay, is that it? Like, in, you know.
What do you do for 5 hours?
You, I'm saying 5 hours isn't enough.
Oh.
And getting to know you knuckleheads, like, you're going to sit down and spend all this time, you're going to live with these people and work with these people, you need hours and hours and days. What do you think is a comfortable time span where you're like, okay, I got a good feel for this, I know I can work with these individuals?
To put a time on it, when you look at it, I mean, going into the morning, you know, spending the day, and then, you know, having a dinner that night, and if there's any follow-up the next morning, I think that's kind of been the norm. And some have been just flying that morning and leave that night. So, you know, ever how much time, you know, that gives you one-on-one. But there's, you know, everybody does it a little differently. And I think the other part, too, is you got to realize you're not, you know, the interview process, you know, just doesn't start from the time you arrive at the facility or, you know, step into the meeting and the time you leave. I mean, you know, you're pretty much interviewing, you know, your whole career. So, I mean, there's obviously a lot of background and a lot of other conversations that go into those decisions.
Hey, Coach, I'm curious, you know, we talk about how the concepts or the two sides are sort of starting to blend a little bit in the NIL era. The last couple of years when you've been at, you know, Indy, or you've had guys come through for pre-draft interviews and some of these young players that are coming into the league, have you noticed any difference or evolution in mentality or approach with young players, like the young NIL era players?
I think that I would say they're exposed to more. So, you know, definitely, I think there's more. Definitely, their experience level and what they were able to engage is definitely different than, you know, to the past generation, without a doubt. So, it's a new experience that these young men are going through, prior to the National Football League. And, yeah, so definitely, it's definitely different.
Mike McCarthy joining us here at 105 through the Fan. And I don't want to, like, relive the whole punt thing, but we were having this discussion with Babe Loffenberg yesterday. And he was going back and forth, and he would go back and forth with Jason Garrett about what you do in terms of coaching instincts and reactions out of players. Like, you know, you don't want them to lose the reaction, you don't want them to lose the instinct, but you also want them to play smart. Like, what is your philosophy on that? Like how do you coach instincts out of players? Because, you know, the instinct is ball on the ground, get the ball.
Well, yeah, I think it's definitely, it goes further than that. I mean, you don't, you know, there's obviously, you know, instinct, you know, balls on the ground, go get the ball. I mean, that's a responsibility in a lot of situations. I mean, really the instincts and awareness is just to continue to coach the game situations. We spend a tremendous amount of time on those game situations. So, the breakdown is in, you know, the awareness, the heightened awareness that, you know, what the play, you know, situation transferred into it. And it was a tough spot because of, you know, where the, you know, both guys were, you know, they were in a vice situation and they were pretty much, you know, out of bounds and coming back in bounds, you know, with the ball on the ground. So, but yeah, it goes more to the area, the situational, competitive, you know, in competition, competitive situation that changes during plays where, you know, the heightened awareness comes. So you just simulate those situations over and over and over again. That's really what we do on Fridays and Saturdays every week in season, and do it every day at training camp. So, that was a tough one. That was a tough one. And definitely something you just got to always try to recreate.
Are there rules that, you know, coaches don't even bother going over because they just should be so ingrained in the player since like the age of 12?
No, I wouldn't say that. To be honest with you, I think it's like watching video. You have to go over. You need mental reps just as much as you need physical reps. You know, we have a game management segment every week where the whole league is cut up just because we want it to be current. Because, you know, things, you know, our league is about trends and how things, you know, tend to happen in bunches and things like that. So, this is something we do spend a lot of time on, and it's the same thing with the fundamentals, you know, particularly the ball security. You know, when we feel that our you know, our numbers and our performance in a certain area of fundamentals isn't as high as we'd like it to be. You know, so that's another segment that's cut up every week and presented into the team meetings. So, you know, there's constant reinforcement on the fundamentals, the game situations, and the game management.
Coach, the offensive line has played pretty well the last couple weeks, even with the different players being swapped in and out and some of the shifting you guys have done. Why do you think that group has been able to gel so effectively, even with all the moving parts?
Well, I just got to give those men the credit, and, you know, in the atmosphere and culture that's established in that O-line with the coaches. I think, you know, Brock Hoffman deserves, you know, a lot of credit there because, you know, his personality and that's, you know, that's a real strength of his. He's a connector, you know, he's definitely a glue, you know, a glue personality. It's like anything, when you go through changes, you definitely have to make sure that the communication is heightened. And I think those guys have done a great job of that. So, you know, cause when your communication's in line, you play fast, you play free, and that's what that group is doing.
And kind of going hand in hand in that, you know, Rico Dowdle has been fantastic the last several weeks. What are some of the specific traits that you like about Rico as a running back? Just taken from, I mean, he was here as an undrafted free agent your first year in Dallas, has hung around on the roster the entire time to now where he's a lead back. What are the things that you've looked at over these 5 years that said, this is why I've wanted Rico around?
Oh, well, I mean, his first impression, clearly, it's his run style. I mean, you know, Rico has such an aggressive, you know, run style, and that's the, you know, that was the first impression of him. I mean, the first time he touched the ball, he scored a touchdown on kickoff. So, I mean, I love the way he attacks the defense when he's running the football. And, you know, he's very bright, has a very high understanding of the game, you know, understands, you know, run blocking, the protection part of it. And, you know, he's played quarterback in high school, so, you know, he has a high football IQ. But he's just a really good football player that, you know, had to go through some injury challenges his first couple of years, and it's been great to see him have this success.
Mike McCarthy on the D&M Leasing Hotline every single Friday at this time here with Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Coach, it seems like Bryce Young has turned a little bit of a corner here after a ton of questions about his status as the number one pick. What have you seen recently from Bryce on tape?
I think he's really playing in a good rhythm, you know, in the pass game. But I think the biggest thing is extended plays. You know, you know, the scramble, he's done a really good job in the playmaking. You know, I mean, he pretty much almost won that Philadelphia game, you know, himself there in that last series, you know, the fourth down conversion, and also the, you know, had a chance to make a big play that this, you know, came up short. But it's been real, really impressive with his poise and the way he's, you know, maximizing each snap in the passing game.
You know, you mentioned poise. Like, when he was in college, I mean, it looked like he never sped up, like he was always under control, and in the beginning of his NFL career looked like the game was a little fast. Have you seen that has kind of slowed down for him?
Man, that's a hell of an observation by you.
Oh, thank you.
He must have played well in that Tennessee game. But
he did.
Sorry about that. I agree. No, I agree with you. I think he there was always a real strength of his, and you know, it seems like he's comfortable in this offensive system. And, you know, fairness to him, he's had change, you know, his whole time there, and that's always tough on a young quarterback. But yes, he seems very, very poised, and he's playing with a different flow clearly this year than last year.
Coach, when you have a player like Jonathan Mingo who's going back against his former team for the first time, do you during the week just, you know, have a moment where you pull him aside and just have a conversation, just check in, like, hey, where are your emotions at? Where's your focus at? Do you have those type of talks when guys are going back to a former team the first time?
Yeah, definitely. Usually it's not a big deal. But, you know, and also that's something that, you know, usually comes out of the position coaches conversations earlier and so forth. But yeah, Jonathan's a pretty even keeled personality, so I really don't have any concern of him going back to Carolina.
Coach, are you satisfied with what you've gotten out of him so far, and where is he in his development with you guys?
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, what you thought which you thought that he was, you know, physically. But it's just like any player. I mean, getting traded at that time, you know, that late, and you know, in jumping in, it's, you know, it's definitely going to be an adjustment. And he's getting more and more comfortable each week.
It's good to be back with you, Coach. I missed you. Thank you for the time, as always. Have a great day, and we'll see you on Sunday. Good luck.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Take care.
He's Mike McCarthy, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. Knew I was out. The Tennessee Vols reference.
I know.
We got to send him a nice old, I'm going to send him a nice old package over there to Frisco
for do that.
Putting up with us.
I got this bottle of wine I've been waiting to give away.
Just re-gifting something.
Bottle of wine?
Yeah. I bought it. I was like, this would be a good gift.
Why didn't you drink it?
Because I'm going to give it away.
Why?
Who
buys a bottle of something and doesn't drink it? What'd you buy it for?
It was a good deal.
Okay.
It's at Costco. It was a liter.
Of?
Camus.
Oh, my God.
Leader of Camus.
Sitting right here.
Right there.
Sitting right here.
You could have just given it to Sean.
You know, I would have bought it at half price.
He has his own bottle of Camus. He doesn't need a bottle of Camus.
I do have one. God, it's good. All right, cool. Well, then you send that to Mike and put all of our names on it. Which one of you sent something about Mike McCarthy on television the other day? Were we making a Bill Belichick comparison? I'm going to guess it was Choppy.
Yeah, because I'm not remembering that at all. Chop, what did you put in there?
Let's see here. Oh, here we go. There we go. Yep, there it is.
I've never met someone who, obviously, I mean, this guy cranks out amazing prep work. Oh, his emails are the best in the station, and he can't remember anything hours later that he puts in.
Not a thing.
It's incredible.
Not a thing. Look, dementia runs deep.
You're like Will Ferrell in Old School when he goes through that debate thing, and then he's just thinking, I blacked out. What happened?
I blacked out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I hammer it out. I'm in the office. So I leave that office. It's like I leave Earth.
You really do have a coach's mindset. You're on to the next play.
Next play. Yeah. Next man up. Here we go. So USA Today had the ideal gifts for every NFC team, right? And every team in the NFC. So for the Giants, for example, it was Shedeur Sanders. That's the ideal gift for the Giants, is Shedeur. For Philadelphia, it's another 483 yards for Saquon Barkley, so he can break Eric Dickerson's mark or whatever. For the Commanders, this was a bad news, it was Micah Parsons.
Oh!
All right, so like a trade for Micah.
For Uncle Dan, reunion.
Yeah, but for the Dallas Cowboys, it was a TV gig for Mike McCarthy. And, you know, he may be tired of working under Jones. He might enjoy swapping stories about his old boss with Jimmy Johnson on Fox NFL Sunday. That was the ideal gift for NFC East teams. And I like, look, they might move on from Mike. I don't know that Mike has any desire to go into TV.
Look, the one thing I've learned about these TV analysts, especially after Belichick, there's no point in ever ruling anybody out. Like, Rick Carlisle went to TV.
And he was good.
You ever think Rick Carlisle was going to go be any type of compelling, charming, I don't know if he was charming, but a TV analyst? Seems like Rick Carlisle would want to stay far, far away from that. And freaking Belichick went there.
And, you know, like, Mike's at the age, like, I don't know that Mike, if he were to not come back next year, I don't know if Mike at his age in his 60s would even desire to coach again.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, very possible. He's like, you know what? I've been coaching for 35 years. My kids are whatever they are. Let me just spend the next few years there before they get out of the house.
I mean, I think he definitely wants to keep coaching. Like, even if it wasn't here, I think he'd want another job. He's talked, the interview he gave to Pelissero before he got the Dallas job, he got really emotional and talked about, like, our family needs football. Like we need it here. And so, I mean,
it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, no, I know. But I mean, I think that I will say that aspect of it, when you say a TV gig for McCarthy, I don't know that we've talked enough about just the thought process of who's to say that...
Jason Garrett's on TV.
Right.
Mike McCarthy would blow Garrett out of the way. He blows him out of the water, excuse me, with these interviews. He blows him out of the water. He would, I think, on television. Hell, yesterday we were talking about Belichick and McCarthy maybe in college, and you were saying how he would blow Bill out of the water when it came to recruiting.
Yeah, I think McCarthy would do, like, if McCarthy ever wanted to go to college football, I think he'd be I think he'd do really well, like, in the living room with parents, selling them on, you know, why he's going to take care of their kid and they're going to be safe there. I think he'd recruit really well. I just wonder if we talk enough about the idea or the potential for maybe Mike McCarthy doesn't come back because Mike McCarthy says, I'm tired of this. to where Jerry could say, we want you back. And he goes, no, thanks. This has been exhausting.
You know, the other interesting thing is with the hot stove heating up, I have not seen Mike McCarthy's name anywhere else connected to another team. I have not seen any beat reporter. I have not seen any national reporter. I have not seen any talk show host be like, hey, we should go after Mike McCarthy. Have you all seen that? Have I just missed that? Ben Johnson, Mike Vrabel, Bill Belichick. No one's talking about trying to rehook Mike.
No, they're not. I wonder if that's just because, like, it'd be really weird. Like, if you were a head coach somewhere and you're on your final year and there's still a chance you come back.
No, it's not really weird. Nothing's really weird in the media. Everything is.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think, like,
nothing's
where else,
above board.
Where else have we seen, like, a coach currently, a head coach currently with a team?
I mean, we're talking about stealing Kyle Shanahan.
I mean, yeah, we threw that out there today. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's. He's also, I think one of the other things to consider here is just there's a lot of questions about why haven't you finished things off? Why haven't you been able to seal the deal or move anything forward? The other aspect here is, and this is wild for me to think about because I don't think of Mike McCarthy as being that old. I mean, he's 60 and I still don't think that's that old. He is the third oldest coach in the NFL right now.
Wow.
Behind Andy Reid and John Harbaugh. And so
John Harbaugh is older.
John Harbaugh is the second oldest coach in the NFL. That's how young the NFL is trending these days.
He looks like he's late 40s.
Does not age.
That's exactly where we're trending though. But I do wonder if just some people are like, we're in the process of we get the 35-year-old head coach who's going to be here for 15 years is what we want, and that it's something where they just say, hey, we're past that now.
62.
Linval Joseph had his Minnesota home robbed on November 18th, as the NFL and FBI are investigating this growing series of robberies, Mahomes, Kelsey, Joe Burrow, when they played here. The crimes are suspected to be linked to a South American crime ring. So in South America, they're waiting for the NFL schedule release in the offseason to be like, oh, that's where we're going to target. That's where we're going to go.
Yeah.
But Linval.
Yeah, I mean, that tells you how deep this crime network is, that they were like, all right, we're going to hit Linval Joseph's house, like that they know that that's somebody that they can include in this. Maybe they're the ones flying the drones.
You won't have to worry about this anymore, okay?
Not going to happen. Yeah, that's what it is. I'm
thrown by this, like completely thrown by this, that the fact that this continues to happen. I swear to God, these leagues, NBA, MLB, all the league, they're going to have in their next CBA security. It's gonna be collectively burned.
I don't know if they're gonna give into that. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
We need to start putting, you know, those guns on the bottom of helicopters that shoot.
Yeah.
We need those on the corners of houses, on the top of the ceiling.
Yeah.
So when I'm not home and I get the alert,
any movement
from DFW security, I can go ahead and, you know, I can move my camera.
Yeah.
And I can just move my gun like that.
There you go.
And take you out.
Gun wasn't mine.
Yeah, sorry. I may get myself in trouble on a Friday. We just need to have machine guns.
I'm in.
At the like where the Christmas lights underneath the eve. Just have rifles.
Do you think there's any risk at all?
Whatever that one is.
Obviously, it's been happening, so it's not like it was anything. But do you think that there's any...
Don't rob my house. I do have two guns, even though I didn't know what the brrr was.
Do you think there's any bit of it where there's like players are now being targeted because it's being talked about so much in like the news? And so like, oh, okay, I didn't even think about this. Yeah, like I didn't even think about this. I can do this now.
I don't know. RJ Choppy does think he knows that LeBron James is getting traded. Bronny with a breakout. And Jeff Passan, Baseball Insider, naming the Rangers one of the big winners. That's all next, along with our final Matt Rife ticket giveaway of the week here on Sean and RJ.